Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Echo e-learning page. Don't forget that Echo membership would provide you with unlimited access to a whole range of other educational courses, as well as the entire content of the Echo e-library. Please check this out at www.echo-ibd.eu.
Dear colleagues, my name is Christian Mars and I'm the head of the IBD Outpatients Clinic, as well as the head of the Department of Geriatrics at the University Teaching Hospital in Lüneburg, which is located in the northern part of Germany, close to Hamburg. In this podcast, I would like to talk about elderly IBD patients and discuss with you why this is of importance to the treating IBD doc. IBD is often thought of a disease of the younger age. However, initial presentation is not only during the first 3 to 4 decades of life, but there is clear evidence, such as published by Ivo Hoff et al. In Gastroenterology 2018, that during every age decade, including at ages of more than 70 years, relevant numbers of initial presentations of Crohn's disease, and even more so of ulcerative colitis, can be detected. The other group are those patients with initial IBD diagnosis at younger age, becoming older, entering the group of elderly IBD patients. Therefore, in a decade, we are expecting, for example, in a country like Germany, up to 30% of IBD patients to be 60 years or older. Now let's look at two patients who presented to me at the same time in my IBD clinic. Both are female, one 19, the other 78 years of age, both with a known diagnosis of ulcerative colitis, with their second flare in 6 months, and both taking mesalazine. Current symptoms, diarrhea with increased stool frequency of 6 to 8 times per day, with bloody discharge and abdominal cramping, as well as pain in the peripheral joints. On ultrasound, both show signs of left-sided colitis and increased fecal calprotectin. The 19-year-old has no concomitant diseases and in addition to contraceptive, no further medication. The 70-year-old has diabetes, heart insufficiency, hypertension, vertebral bone fracture due to osteoporosis, renal insufficiency, post-hysterectomy, and post-cholecystectomy. Due to those diseases, she's taking 10 different drugs, including anti-diabetic drugs and allopurinol. My 78-year-old IBD patient is a typical example of an elderly IBD patient showing comorbidities and poorly medication, defined as taking 5 drugs or more, and you can already appreciate that it is a bit more complicated to make a treatment decision compared to my 19-year-old patient. In addition to classical comorbidities, there's one further important aspect one needs to consider in elderly IBD patients at geriatric age, the geriatric syndromes. These are not classical diseases such as heart insufficiency, but multi-organ processes such as increased risk to fall, reduction of muscle volume, incontinence, and cognitive impairment. Many of these also lead to frailty. Various research groups in various countries clearly showed an increased risk, for example, in regard to in-hospital morbidity and mortality for IBD patients with comorbidities and frailty, such as published by Escher in APT 2020 and Coca Gastroenterology 2020. Let's get back to the 78-year-old with a moderate disease flare of her known UC with various comorbidities and medications. Steroids would be one standard option to treat her flare. However, this bears the risk of worsening her diabetes, which would therefore require close monitoring. In addition, she already suffers from vertebral bone fractures due to osteoporosis. Just in case we would think of long-term immunosuppression, as this is a second flare within a few months, azathioprine would be a theoretic option. But knowing her current medication, we know that there definitely would be negative interaction with her allopurinol. Furthermore, we need to keep in mind the relevantly elevated risk of developing lymphoma in the elderly receiving thiopurines. In addition to interaction with other drugs and worsening of comorbidities, one important aspect is the risk of infectious complications due to immunosuppressive medication. For example, we know that the use of steroids increases the risk of infections in general, such as for Clostridium difficile infection, knowing that age by itself is already a risk factor for C. diff infection, which in the elderly is significantly more often associated with mortality, as for example published by Kelly and colleagues 2008 in the New England Journal of Medicine. Anti-TNF therapy, as another IBD drug, is known to increase the risk of infectious complication, and there is various scientific evidence that the risk is the highest for the group of elderly IBD patients. Certainly, anti-TNFs are not contraindicated just because of age, but we have to monitor elderly IBD patients more closely, especially as infectious problems in the elderly often cause only unspecific symptoms. And preventive measurements in the elderly are even more important, and keeping vaccinations updated should be strongly advised, such as vaccinations against influenza, pneumococcus, and herpes zoster. Ivorov et al., like some other groups, have studied the prescription of drugs in the different IBD generations. While they found similar numbers of prescription of mesalazine and steroids in the age group 18 to 59 compared to older IBD patients, immunomodulatory and biologics were prescribed significantly less in the group of elderly IBD patients. One reason might be a more mild to moderate disease course in the elderly, as described by Charpentier and colleagues in Gastroenterology 2014. However, also very likely, elderly IBD patients are undertreated due to the fear of complications. Besides the fact that elderly IBD patients have the same right of controlled disease, we have to keep in mind that chronic systemic inflammation has the potential to worsen other diseases such as cardiovascular disease. So to summarize this podcast, IBD in the elderly is not rare, should be adequately treated, maybe start low, go slow, but nevertheless with the same treatment goals as in the young ones. Comorbidities and polymedications need to be taken into account, and sufficient preventive measurements should be strongly recommended.